On through Mark.
I really enjoyed just taking Mark and just kind of breaking it down. I really enjoyed the scripture that we dealt with today, verses 53 through 56, and just that thought that really it is kind of just a picture of our Christian life, you know, and just how God wants us to be involved in just reconciling people to God, right? We're not here to save people. I can't save anybody. But Jesus can, and God wants me to connect people to Jesus. You know, he says he actually comes right out and says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he's made us new. The old has passed away, and we're, you know, this is a new creation in us. And man, that's a good one to tell Sister Heather. Yeah. You know, we're a new creation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. But I got to thinking about that area of Scripture. It also tells us, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling lost sinners to God. You see, guys, we're not the ones saving them. We can't save any. We can't even save ourselves. But we reconcile them to God. In fact, it says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And we are imploring them on his behalf to be saved, right? Isn't that amazing? We're ambassadors for Christ. You know, whenever we look at our ambassadors for the United States, they're not just some autonomous king that we send out there. They don't make decisions on their own. They go into a foreign land. They set up a site that they work from. It's called an embassy. And in a foreign land, which is sovereign to the nation that they represent, which is really interesting how that works. I mean, that whenever they build that embassy there, that becomes United States soil if they're a United States ambassador on that other property, in that other country. And then what do? They represent the nation that they belong to. How amazing is that? That we are ambassadors for Christ, for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven on this earth. You know, my house isn't mine. And I can tell you, it don't belong to Washington County either. That house belongs to God. That home site, that piece of property. Yeah, I know I got to pay my taxes if I want to keep it. But God will help me do that even if he's got to give me a fish. Okay? With a coin in his mouth. But here's the deal. God just wants us to be representatives, bringing people, lost sinners, to God. Being ambassadors and connecting them. And here's the thing. Sometimes we can get caught up in rules and regulations and traditions if we're not careful. Can I get an amen to that? It's pretty easy for us to do that. We kind of like getting ingrained in habits or things that work for us, and we're creatures of habit if we're not careful. And you had some religious authorities during this time as we get into chapter 7. So you've got these other people, they recognize Jesus. They go, look at the boat that's landing on our shore over here. He's the one who healed all those people. He's the one we heard he fed, you know, 20,000 people the other day, 5,000 men and all their families with just a few loaves and a couple of fish. And so, like, let's get everybody we can. We heard that a woman sneaked up to him in a crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And 12-year problem that she had was healed like that. Amen. We heard about him. We see him. Now let us go get everybody we know that has a need and bring them to him. Okay, while they're all doing that, we got these Pharisees, and guess what? They recognized him too. And they said, there's that guy. There he is, and he keeps making all these wild claims. And look at all the people following him. He's really challenging our traditions. And I'm going to say, their real problem, their real stumbling block was one of pride and legalism. They thought, in their prideful ways, that they were the religious authority, not God. They said they were worshiping God, but really what they were worshiping was their religion. And they were putting themselves up as the example and saying, look at us, do it like us, be like me, and you'll be okay. And Jesus came along and he challenged every bit of that. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm going to tell you, he rocked their boat. You remember the storms we were talking about? Well, he flipped the Pharisees' boat over, and they weren't happy with him. Now, he's doing all these things. You remember what we read? And as many as touched him were made well. I mean, like, there was no exception. Wow. Now, these Pharisees, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I bet all these stories were swirling. Like everywhere they went, there were people showing up with folks on mats, any way they could get them there. And rather than the Pharisees going, hey, well, let's watch this. Let's learn. Let's be a part of what we see going on. They just noticed, look at them eating with unwashed hands. And they get really indignant. They found fault. Guys, I'm going to tell you, legalism and too much focus on just tradition alone. Some traditions are good. Some traditions are there because they're biblical. And those we keep, but we should never worship them. We need to make sure that we're worshiping God, that He is our God, He is our everything, and not some form of legalism. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way. Holding the tradition of the elders. Well, boy, you know what? I've read up just a little bit on this and studied and heard some commentaries. They had a very elaborate way of washing their hands. Now, I want you to understand, this wasn't just washing their hands because they had maybe gotten in some dirt that day, and so they went, you know, and washed their hands off in the spring. But guys, they would get this water, and they would take a pitcher, and they would start, like, with their fingertips, and they would let it run a certain way down their arm, and I mean, they had this whole thing that they went through, this big ritual, trying to show, look how godly, look how cleansed I am. Look at how cleansed I am. I guess maybe I'm going to pick a little bit here, and I guess I could get in trouble. But I went to a Catholic church one time, and again, I got saved late in life. I was 30 whenever I got saved, and this has actually been just a few years ago. My niece was getting married, and so I went to this Catholic church that she was getting married in, and I was kind of thirsty, and I was standing in the back in the foyer. And I realized, you know, there was this water jug there with these cups. and I'm just going to show you just how out of touch I am. I had not a clue that that was, quote, holy water. that was water they had been blessed. And man, I'm going to tell you, all these people were in this church, and I mean, it was full, and I'm standing at the back. You know, it's almost like standing room only. And I'm thinking, boy, I sure would like to have a drink. And I went over there, and I started to pull a cup up, and I read it. It was like, oh, no! Man, I would have offended a lot of people that day. I just want you to know, that water that was in that water jug would have been just fine for me to drink. It's just water! Yeah. But you see, they throw that water around after they've done whatever they do to it, thinking somehow they made it holy! Yeah. I'm going to tell you, there's only one that's holy. That's God Himself, and He wants our heart to be His. Yes. You know, and so we had these Pharisees, and all they could think about was the fact that this so-called rabbi was breaking the mold by not making his disciples do the ceremonial washing. And it upset them. Now, I don't see them going, hey, Jesus, tell us about all these people you've been healing. We want to hear about that. You know, Jesus, tell us. Tell us about who you come from. Let us learn from you, because He most obviously had authority. The way that people just touched the hem of His garment, they're healed. They're like, there's something to be said about that. But you see,
legalism blinded them from being able to see it.
And so in verse 4, it goes on to say, when they can't come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. This is speaking of the Pharisees. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Guys, I'm going to tell you something. They missed it. God, help us if we get so legalistic and so religious that we miss it when we see Jesus working. You know, I'm going to tell you, there was a great revival. I would dare to say even the beginning of an awakening in the United States in the 70s. And it was called the Jesus Movement. The Jesus Movement kind of started with all the hippies going toward California and looking for, you know, a beach experience and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, it was a movement that it seems to have been really for real. Like, people were getting saved. But I'm just going to tell you, they weren't the type of people that many traditional churches wanted coming to their church. And I'm just going to say that when people first get saved, they don't all of a sudden wind up looking like the kind of people that you might find in a church immediately. You know, I mean, you remember Lazarus who got brought up out of the grave, you know, brought up out of the tomb? He had grave clothes on still, and he still stunk. And I'm just going to say, whenever people first get saved, they still got the grave clothes on because they were dead in their trespasses and sins, and they stink a little bit. Yeah. And whenever they come into the church, sometimes the church folk get a little uncomfortable with that, and I understand that, and you know, I get that. But boy, we got to make sure we don't look at them like the Pharisees, because I'm going to tell you, I've read about, a lot about the Jesus Movement, and I kind of remember hearing about it whenever I was just a kid. I remember the article that hit Time Magazine and things like that that talked about all that. But, you know, I'm afraid that some of the traditional churches almost kind of snuffed it out. They saw the folks come in with the long hair, and maybe they weren't wearing the right clothes, and I guarantee you they weren't. Some of those folks still had some really bad habits that they needed to deal with, too. They needed to get some of this stuff figured out. And yeah, you know, there was a lot of changing that God needed to do in them. But I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid that the church might have kind of done like the Pharisees then. But there's a guy, I think his name, Chuck. Who's the one that started Calvary Chapel Movement? Was it Smith? Yeah, because we know a Charles Smith. And I was afraid I was getting it mixed up. But Chuck Smith, he decided that what his calling was to try to plant more churches in accordance with this movement. And he wanted to continue further south and down into Mexico. And we actually linked up with some of the folks who were part of their church planting movement down in Mexico when we were down there. But you see, what we need to do is recognize what God's doing. God's at work all around us. And if we can recognize what God's already doing and get in on what He's doing, and look at it, and I'm going to tell you, I think our church is good about this. I really do. I have not seen anybody feel, you know, uncomfortable about entering our church yet. And I pray that we always stay like that, no matter how much we grow, no matter how we go, no matter how this thing works. You know, I had one of the people that was here this morning, they asked me, do you have a dress code yesterday? And I said, absolutely not, as long as you're wearing some clothes. We're good with whatever, you know. And so, you know, here's the thing, guys. We got to learn from these Pharisees. Let's not just look down on them, because let's admit it, we could all make this mistake if we're not careful. We can all make this mistake if we're not careful. But let's, so now Mark explains to us what the actual whole argument was over here. He explains to us just a little bit about what the Pharisees were like and what they were upset about in the way that they dealt with their stuff. And then there's a reason why this is all being explained to us, because Jesus is just about to speak. And he's got something very pointed that he's going to say. And so verse 6, he answered, and said to them, and I'm just going to tell you, Jesus answered every question perfectly. I love it whenever they asked him stupid questions, because I've asked him stupid questions before, and I love it the way that he so patiently answers them perfectly. He is the perfect teacher. He goes on to say, well did Isaiah prophesy of you? In other words, Isaiah did a good job prophesying of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God. Now, if you don't, we're going to take a little time out here and we're going to look at this. Okay, the children were supposed to be prepared to take care of their parents later on in life. That's why the oldest child got the double portion. He got a double portion in the inheritance so that he would have what was needed to help take care of mom and dad in their old age when they couldn't take care of themselves. And so what the Pharisees were doing was they were stepping in and saying, man, we can see in those retirement accounts, there's a lot of money that could be used right here. They were greedy. And so they gave people the permission to break the law of Moses and give the money to them. And then they absolved the children of any guilt in the matter, like somehow they were the judge. And they couldn't do that anyways, but they were doing it, and they had a name for it. It was called Corban. If you give it to us, it's okay. And parents, in turn, were not being taken care of. Yes, sir, Brother Bill. You know, that's exactly what it probably should be. But what we got to understand is sometimes the church, if we're not careful, can play this role. We can begin to tweak the things that God's Word says are really important to Him. How are other people going to know that we're His disciples? Does anybody tell? Can anybody tell me that? If we have love for one another. You know, I had an older gentleman who's gotten a little jaded with church and whatnot, but he was standing downstairs yesterday and he said, I'm just going to tell you, what I see happening in this church right now really warms my heart. The way that this church is loving on these folks, and I'm going to tell you, he said, it reminds me of the old days when we didn't have transportation around here and our families used to get together and love on one another every Sunday after church. And he said, what I see there, he said, it really inspires me. It really blesses me. You know what he was saying? I can see you love one another. And he was saying that he could see that real disciples are here. You know, it's true. What Jesus says is true. And he says that we shouldn't be stingy. He says that whenever somebody has a need, that we should try to meet them at that need. If we have what we can use to help them with. You know, but instead, what were the Pharisees doing? They were nullifying God's heart. And they were taking what was really meant to take care of parents. And they were, quote, making it holy if you give it to the church. You give it to the, yes?
The word Corbin in my book says a gift devoted to God.
A gift devoted to God, yeah. So rather than it going to what God said to give it to, now that would have been holy. Take care of your parents with it, because that's what God wanted them to do with it. That would have been God's desire, but instead, they're saying, if you give it to us, then it'll be like a gift to God. You know what would have been the best gift to give God? Is do what He actually said. Amen. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Thanks for looking that up. To obey is better than sacrifice. Absolutely. So now he goes on. He said, then verse 12, you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition
which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Wow. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus didn't pull any punches, did he? He didn't hold anything back. He hit them with both barrels. They came after him, and I think that he probably, you know, without any doubt, I can hear the love in his voice. But I also hear that he has authority. He has authority. And he's saying, I've been sitting there watching this all this time. Don't you dare come after me and tell me what holiness is. You know, guys, sometimes whenever things happen that we don't understand, we can have a tendency to maybe feel a little like, you know, God, why did you do it that way? It's okay to ask. We can ask of a right heart. But I've heard people get downright upset with God and let him have it. And you know, I know, like, God's awesome and he's patient with us and he can meet us there and everything. But help us to always remember, he's got a better perspective on things than what we do. Amen. You know, in other words, what he's saying, you know why I didn't tell my disciples to wash their hands? Because that ain't the point, guys. I'll tell you what the point is. The point is ministering to others in my name. You know, guys, you're so religious. I'm just going to paraphrase. You're letting your parents in your own community go without just so you can have what you want in the temple. That's wrong. You need to do what God said. You need to take care of those parents. And when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. And then he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. We're going to start back up on that Sunday morning. We're going to reiterate those last couple verses. But I think it's important for us to cap off that first teaching with those verses. Guys, here's the deal. It ain't what we take in. And I'll tell you what, I think in this declaration, he was also making the food clean. He was opening the door for the food laws to be abolished right here. And he wasn't going quite that far until after he'd gone back to heaven and he gave Peter the vision of the food. Now, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I'm really thankful for that vision. It's awful complicated if you look at all those food laws. But he made it really simple for us to be able to take the gospel anywhere in the world now. You see, that's what he was doing. He was opening the door so that we could enter the Gentile home, so that we could go, so others could come to us. We're Gentiles, you know? He was opening the door to remove the separation from between the Jews and the Gentiles, and these guys couldn't get the barrier out of the way between the Jews and the Jews. They were saying, look at those guys. And Jesus says he's holy. He don't even make his disciples wash their hands. Guys, they missed the forest for the trees. They couldn't see the healings because all they could see was a little dirt on the hands. Sister? There could be unclean, yeah. 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 And if we're not careful, we can do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very easily to look at people as less than, yeah, God, yeah, says they are. Absolutely. The image of God. There's a movie coming out. I don't know if it's a documentary about the image of God. Yeah. It's dealing, it's coming out, I think it's coming week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important that we see that, you know, that was what this was about. They were saying, about like prejudicial treatment of other individuals. And there was a whole lot of that going on. I mean, we can remember a lot of stories with Jesus. One of them that really, really speaks into this was whenever he went into the one Pharisee's house to eat. His name was Simon, the Pharisee. And he's in there, and that sinful woman came in, and she was just down there washing his feet with her tears and wiping them off with her hair. And that Pharisee was so, he just his thoughts within himself, how could this man be a prophet if he knew what manner of woman this is that's touching him? He would never allow that. And Jesus perceived his thoughts, and he used that little parable. Man, he could teach, couldn't he? Perfect teaching. And he told him about the two people, one had been forgiven a little and the other had been forgiven a lot. And he said, which one do you think loved the most, had the most love? And even the Pharisee got it right, probably the one who had been forgiven a lot. And he said, you know, you answer well. He said, I tell you the truth, she's been forgiven a lot. Therefore, she loves much. Sister Sharon? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And not condemning them because of their right, wrong choices. Sure.
That are so much against
yeah.
God's word, mm-hmm. And yet gently encouraging them to know that you don't have to live like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just going to tell you, if we have this great revival that results in this great awakening, the church is going to have to receive people coming from all kinds of backgrounds. Because, guys, here's the thing. All the old passed away and the new has began when we have a new birth. We have a rebirth of an individual. I can tell you, I got a mess in my past too. But God hasn't disqualified me because of my mess in the past. What He's worried about is my future. Because I'm a child of God now, and so can any of them be. You know, I just keep seeing that fellow on that YouTube video that was sitting there, and he had all these tattoos trying to make him look like a woman. And he was just sitting there, and he said, I had Christian friends. And he's looking the camera like, you know, and while you're watching the thing, he's looking you right in the eyes. And he said, I only have one question for you. Why didn't you say something to me? Why didn't you tell me? You know, he said, I'm not ashamed, but I'm just, you know, of the marks because they testify to this new life I have in Christ and what I came out of. But he said, I just want to know, why didn't you say something you knew? And I was just like, wow, did that ever get my attention? And you know, praise God that God can save anyone out of any kind of lifestyle if they'll just turn to Him, just one touch. Just one touch is enough. And I think that's in a spiritual way. God can save them. Now the question is, will the church receive them and disciple them? And guys, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes it's going to be a challenge. But with God, yeah, yeah. I know. And sometimes, you know, in them baby years of their newfound faith, they're going to say stuff that ain't true. They're going to say stuff that really can be shocking. But we got to be patient. Because as they learn and grow, you know, somebody was patient with me. I can remember times saying things around my pastor, you know, and he was just like, what? He was pretty patient with me up to a certain point, and then he was like, sometimes he get a little rough with me, you know, when we were in private. And but I probably needed that at the time. I needed him to be firm with me about some things, and so we just need to love one another. We got to stick together, and I'm just going to tell you, you guys are my family. And you know what? We don't get to always choose our family. God puts us together, and I think we need to stay together until God takes us and separates us for His purposes for another purpose. And we'll know it whenever He does. But here's the deal. We just need to work it out as we go forward. And no matter who He sends to us, if He sent them, I think we need to work with them.
we definitely need to work with them. And let's not pay it, you know, let's not look at those little things. I'll go ahead and say something, I guess, on this. I remember when Andy used to first start coming to church, and he would always wear his do-rag inside the church, you know? And I can tell you, that goes against a lot of the tradition of the church, you know? And I'll tell you where the tradition comes from. It says that men shouldn't pray with their head covered, because God is our covering. And it really has to do with the ceremonial covering more than just a regular hat. It really had to do with the fact, I don't know if you've ever watched Jewish people, but Jewish people will always cover their head right before they pray. And they have like a prayer shawl that they do use for that. And what Paul was saying is, the shawl don't mean nothing. It's the covering of Jesus Christ that means something. Okay? And then in the same token, he said that women should cover their heads to show that their husband is their covering, is basically. And I'm paraphrasing right now. You know what's interesting is we drop the latter part of that tradition. And some would say he talks about hair being the woman's covering, but that first part is actually about a covering. That's talking about a covering. And then he goes on to, you know, and I'm not trying to institute that you ladies should cover your heads while you pray. What I'm saying is, why does the church still come down so hard on the men if they wear a hat? We don't come down on the ladies for not wearing a hat, but we do come down on the guys if they do wear a hat. And whenever Andy used to come, and you know, I can still see him sitting right back there in the back, and he would have that black do-rag on, and at times I thought, you know, should I just mention? And God always said, just keep your hands off. You know, I'll deal with it. And whenever, one time I was doing some Bible study with Andy, and he realized what that scripture was saying, and he said, you know, he didn't really make a deal out of it, but I just noticed the very next Sunday he didn't have it on. Yeah. You see, God worked with him. Mm-hmm. And we need to be patient with one another. You know what, guys? Like, it really wasn't a big thing. But I've been in other churches, and I've heard other pastors say, I'd go back there and tell him if he wasn't willing to take that hat off, he could just leave.
Yeah.
And I've heard some really good people say that. And I've thought, man, I just don't think I feel right about that. I really don't think that was a big issue. You know, even if they were doing it somewhat in disrespect, God can still work that out of them over time. He's incredible the way that he can do that. And I praise God. You know, and I know that there's some things that, like, we've got to set some boundaries on. You know, especially when it comes to church membership and stuff. You know, we need to have some boundaries where we don't. You know, we help people deal with certain things before we get to those areas. But as far as keeping them from sitting in those pews and learning the Word of God, and from meeting with them and trying to teach them the Word of God and trying to disciple them, guys, I'm just going to tell you, we got to let God clean them up. And we just need to teach them the Word of God. And we just need to keep working with them. And if a person's struggling with whatever, and if it's homosexuality, you know, God saves homosexuals.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they can't continue to embrace that lifestyle. They're going to have to at some point repent of that. But I'm going to tell you, God's the one who can help them get to that point. And I've heard many testimonies of people that were saved out of that lifestyle. And I'm just going to tell you, they're just as saved as anybody else whenever he does. And will they maybe struggle with that same thing later on somewhere down the road? Possibly. Do you ever struggle with any sins that you used to have problems with before? You thought you had gotten rid of it, and all of a sudden, bam, it blindsides you one day? Sure, it happens to all of us. So we got to be patient with them, even at that. Now, we do have to agree it's sin. We do need to agree that it needs to be repented of. We need to agree on all those things. Just as much as pride, anger, and wrath. You know? We can keep naming them off, right? How about what's that one where you want what your neighbor has?
Yeah.
Coveting. The word slipped my mind. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Gluttony.
There's another one. Yeah. So what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and we need to help want to grow together as we're going toward him. Invite other people to come along for the ride. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that'll want to. Here's the deal. Whenever people walk into a church, you know,
I got saved, like I say, at 30, so I came to church. That's a scary trip through those doors back there if you've never been in a church before. It's really scary. You don't know what you're going to find on the other side of that door. I didn't have a clue, and it scared me to death. I sweat bullets before I went in, and I didn't know what people were going to expect of me. I didn't want them to see just how unknowing and ignorant I was. It scared me to death. And I can tell you, you know, whenever the song leader would be up here, and we'd have our two ushers go up and get the plates, and they'd be standing up there waiting, you know, for the song to end, and then the song would end, and the song leader would scan the horizon to pick somebody to pray. I always wanted to hide down underneath one of the pews because I didn't want them to call on me to pray and me make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. We was up there at Farms.
Yeah.
We were up there with Rob, and we was all getting ready to leave. And this lady, because that's when they had us locked down on the one.
I remember that. I do.
This girl came up to me, and she's like, "Will you pray with me before?" And
I remember who you were talking about. Yeah. We had met her in the
nervous.
Yeah.
I was so nervous, but you know what? God helped me through it.
God does. Yeah.
It was so awesome. It made my heart so good that she came to me and asked.
Yeah.
We didn't know her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And I was so proud of you for praying out loud with her. Because I know that made you uncomfortable at first. That's the thing. You see, if we're patient with one another, God will help us to be able to take that next step. We really do need to. We need to never forget, too, just how uncomfortable that was for us.
Yeah.
To get out of that comfort zone area.
And
because. I don't remember that. Okay. Well, that's good. You're getting, see? You had to get out of that comfort zone, didn't you? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. But what we'll learn as we grow is that it's a gift to be able to pray, isn't it? It's a gift to us to be able to pray. It's a blessing. And here's the thing. One of these days, I'm going to teach on this just a little bit. The kind of prayer that God won't accept. And I know that kind of freaks people out. I'll tell you, the main prayer that's a sin is prayerlessness. Us not praying at all is what really bothers God. You know, God wants us to pray. But he does give us some guidelines, you know, that we shouldn't pray selfishly and things of that nature. But at the same time, he overlooks an awful lot to help us, you know, to be patient with us, to help us to grow. And he shows us so gently, you know. I'm just amazed. Through my walk with the Lord, these 21 years or so, I mean, it's been awesome to see how God has just at times quietly awakened me in the night to let me know of something I did that didn't please him. You know? And he didn't expose me in front of everybody to shame me or anything like that. He just woke me up real quiet. And I would feel so dreadful, you know, for a moment.
Yeah.
And he would just let me know, it's okay. I just want you to know about it. I want you to ask for forgiveness and move on. You know? And so, when we make mistakes, don't beat yourself up. Devil wants that. God just wants us to say, amen. You're right, Lord. Forgive me. And it's so amazing how he'll just pick us back up. It's like we pick our little children up off the floor and move them on down the road, you know, and brush us off and say, come on, child. We're going to move on. We're going to get past this. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to grow. And God, I want you to use us to help others to grow. Help us not to get stuck on just things that are just tradition or just the way that we heard it ought to be. Help us to know your word so that we can really know what your desire for us is, what really pleases you. Help us to teach others, but not to do it in a judgmental way, but that we can support everything that we teach with the word of God and we can help them to grow. Lord, help us to be as non-threatening as possible whenever it comes to presenting the things of God. But whenever I look at the Word, I see that Jesus, you always held the religious leaders to a higher standard. And Lord, you weren't rough on the sinner who came to you trembling. You never were harsh with them. But we can see whenever the Pharisees were trying to correct you, and they were the one that was wrong, sometimes you could be pretty harsh with them. Because you wanted them to see that they were misguiding your people, and you didn't like it. So help us, Lord, to be mindful of how we guide your people. Help us to make sure it lines up with Scripture. Help us to make sure it's out of a spirit of love. And help us to always be patient with one another. And so, Lord, help us, I pray, just to continue down this pathway together. And help us to bring many more into the fold as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight.